If you will, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to concentrate primarily on verse 2. And in chapter 3, having declared the Holy Scriptures to be the inerrant Word of God, it's not a book of speculation. It's not a book of theories. It's not a book of possibilities. One preacher in California built a reputation on that, preaching on possibilities. It's not a book of possibilities. It's a book of certainties. Yes. Absolute certainties. I remember Tim James preached for me years ago, and he made this statement. He said, "I love absolutes because with absolutes there are no alternatives." And having declared the Holy Scriptures to be the inerrant Word of God and having stated its purpose, here's its purpose, is to make men wise unto salvation. That's what he told Timothy from a child. Your grandmother and your mother, they read to you the Word of God, and from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And so, having stated all these things, the apostle charges this young man before God. I think of this young man, and I think of myself at my own ordination service years ago, up at 13th Street Baptist Church. And this young man was charged by the Apostle Paul before God and before the one that Bobby just told us about, whose train fills the temple, who sits high and lifted up. He's the Creator. He's the God-man mediator. He's all. He's all. And this apostle charges this young man before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and in His kingdom, to preach the Word. See it there in verse 2? Preach the Word. Be instant. In season, out of season, when you're ready and when you're not ready. Study to show thyself approved, a workman, worthy of his meat. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the Word. The pulpit's not a man's private soapbox. It's not a place to get up with all the political issues and all the issues between men and women and all the issues between rich and poor. It's not a soapbox. You don't stand up here and debate and campaign for political offices. The pulpit is reserved for preaching and preaching the Word of God. The Lord said, when they shall say unto you, this is something the brother was preaching out of the book of Isaiah, this is something else Isaiah said, or God said through him. And he said, when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits. That is, when you hear them, you feel like there's some common ground. You feel like this man, he can talk to me. I've heard people say that. I just go down there. There's something about that man. He just that's familiar spirits. And he said, when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits. Those who sounds familiar, sounds like something everybody believes. He's okay. He's not a fanatic. Go hear him. He's not weird like that other guy. Go hear him. Or they say unto them, seek ye wizards that peep and mutter. This means a clever person. It doesn't mean at all what I thought it did. I thought it was talking about wizards. You know, these. But if you look the word up, you know, even in our slang today, we get a mechanic, and boy, he can really fix. He can tell you what's wrong with that thing and fix it. We call him a wizard sometimes, don't we? He's just a wizard. That's really what this word means. That's what it means. He's wise. He's able to figure things out. He's a man also, according to the other definition that we have, who speaks in strange languages that we can't understand, and he likes to, like the Catholics sometimes, to speak in Latin, and nobody in there knows what they're saying, but it's okay because he don't know what he's saying either. And they like to intimidate men by pretending to have a power that they don't have. And they make strange sounds and so on. But here's what the Lord said. Should not a people seek unto their God? For the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony. This is Isaiah 8:20. To the law and to the testimony. That's the whole Old Testament, isn't it? That's the law with all of its types and symbols where God set forth Christ as the propitiation for our sins. And the testimony of the prophets testifying of the coming Redeemer, testifying of what He would do and what He would say and where He would go. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, whose word? God's word. It is because there is no light in them. Not a little light. Didn't say they went astray a little bit. Said there's no light in them. Because there is no light apart from the Word of God. It's my experience dealing with fallen men that they have little or no interest in the Word of God and certainly no knowledge of it. I never hear one tell me, well, it says over in Romans 4. No, they just say, well, that don't seem right. Isn't that what they say? Ignorant of the Word of God. They say, well, I just think. But God said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Mm-hmm. Well, it seems to me, I hear another, us Baptists believe. I don't want to know what Baptists believe. I want to know what you believe. What you believe. Let me show you something in the Scriptures. Back in the book of Job. Job was a man of God. He was a righteous, devoted, loving child of God. He was one all along. God said there's nobody like him. Nobody like Job. And he gave Satan permission to take everything he had away from him except his life. Don't take his life. And so he did. He took his riches, his children, his title, his reputation, even his health. And finally, I believe he even took away his wife because his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? And this happened so fast. You know, while one man was telling him what happened, another showed up to tell him what happened next. And then another showed up before he could finish talking, telling him what happened next. It happened in a flash. And it happened so fast that Job's friends believed him to be cursed of God, that Job had done something, said something. And God was retaliating. God was cursing his beloved servant. And so these sorry comforters came out to him trying to get him to confess his sins. And they'd tell him some things, and then Job would say some things back. And then they'd say some things to Job, and Job would say some, and it goes all the way through the book of Job like that. Finally, God spoke. Job 38:1. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" Isn't that what preachers are doing today? Well, I don't want to be guilty of that. When you try to preach with no understanding, you're darkening the counsel of God. You're darkening God's message. You're darkening God's light. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to the lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. He said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and you answer me." Now here's where I'm going with this. Where was you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Huh? What do you know about it? You talk to a man who's probably hadn't read the Bible since he was in Sunday school, and then a man quoted it to him, and he didn't even look it up. And you're standing there talking to him, and he'll start giving you his opinion on the Word of God. Where were you? You see what God's saying? What do you know about it? You can't even tell me about the migration of wild asses and the fowl of the air. You can't tell me why the ocean don't just break loose and flood the world. What do you know about anything? You don't know. Well, who does? God does. Isn't that what he's saying here to Timothy? The only thing you know about this is what I taught you. That's what Paul told him. You stick there. You stay there. You be established in those things that I've taught you. Because you know who I am and you know who sent me. And you know where I got my information. I got it from the Word of God. And this man was a writer of the Word of God. Brethren, you and I know nothing apart from the Word of God. Do we? And this man preaching to you this morning, I can't tell you anything apart from the Word of God. Apart from the Word of God. I was shocked as a young man. I went down. It was time for me to settle down. It was time for me to do what I was always taught to do, go down, join the church, and become a part of the ministry of that church, that local ministry in that community, and so I did. And I went down there, and I didn't understand a thing they were telling me. Of course, neither did they, but I wanted to be a part of it. And I decided I'm going to put my hand to the plow. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to get out here. And boy, here I was. And they had a revival meeting, and I was just on fire. And I went out there, and I went up to my brother-in-law's cabin, and his brother was there visiting. And I'll never forget it. He had a pair of cut-off jeans on it, and he had a long-necked blue ribbon beer in his hand, and he was sitting there on the couch. And I said, "I just come up to invite you to come down to church." He said, "Why?" Well, nobody ever asked me that before. I didn't know what to say. I was trying to think fast on my feet. I said, "Well, we were having a revival." He said, "So?" What's that mean? I said, well, we've got an evangelist down there. He said, well, what's he preach? I said, he preaches the gospel. That fellow looked up at me and he said, you wouldn't know the gospel if you met it in the middle of the road. And I said, what do you mean I don't know the... Well, if you know the gospel, what is it? And for the first time in my life, I realized I didn't know the gospel. Oh, I said, well, you've kind of taken me by surprise. I said, I'm going to go home and read my... Oh, he said, you need to read your Bible. It's a good thing. God's people need to read their Bible. Boy, I was so mad when I left there. I decided I was going to go home and open this book. And he had said some things about God's absolute sovereignty. And unbeknownst to me, this man, of course, he just did it for argument's sake, but he listened to Ralph Barnard and Henry Mahan for years. And his doctrine was good. His attitude and spirit wasn't, but his doctrine was good. And he mentioned some things to me, and I went home and started reading the Word of God, and here's things that these pastors... I mean, I went to church four or five times a week. We'd even go to the mission churches. I'd sit up on a feed bag and listen to that man preach. Nobody in all them years ever mentioned God's absolute sovereignty. Never read a scripture that said anything about His sovereignty. I was shocked out of my shoes when I read Daniel chapter 4. When I read Romans chapter 9. Started to see something about these things. I didn't have any connection between those things and the salvation of a sinner, but I was shocked to learn these things were in the Word of God. And the more I read, the more shocked I got. Then I found out election is in the Scriptures. What in the world is election? And I was seeking desperately to find answers to these things, and I was asking the elders in our church, and none of them knew anything about it. The oldest one there, he told me, he said, well, now the secret things belong unto the Lord. I said, yeah, but he told John with the secret things, put his pen up. He wrote these things. These aren't secret. He didn't write secret things. I said, I read in here where the Word of God is profitable for doctrine. Everything in it. And he said, well, I'm just telling you, he said, the secret things belong. Don't start messing with that old predestination stuff. Finally, one of the elders in my church, he was just sitting back and he listened, kind of like somebody might have been doing when Job was talking to his friends, but he's just listening. He listened to me, and listened to them, listened to me. Finally, he said, there's a guy on Sunday morning preaches these things all the time. I said, on prime time Sunday morning on television? I said, there ain't nobody. Yeah, he said, there is. His name's Henry Mahan. Next Sunday, I stayed home. 9 o'clock, I turned TV on. There's Henry Mahan. Man, he went right down the line on these things. I told my wife, I said, I'm going up to his church tonight. So I drove 50 miles up the river, went to his church, heard the gospel for the first time in my life. And that's where I camped out and stayed. We have the Word of God. And this Word is given by inspiration of God, and it alone is profitable for doctrine. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what your daddy said. Matters what God said. Let God be true and every man a liar. And the man who has it and understands it and preaches it is throughly furnished. That's what Paul said. You're throughly furnished unto all good works. You have everything you need. You have everything you need. Everything you need to know is right here in this book. So what does His Word say? What does this book declare? What does it testify to men? Well, the book of God is a book of redemption. Not a science book. It's not a book of genealogies, although both are stated in there, but that's not why it's written. It's a book of redemption. It's a book of reconciliation. It's a book of salvation in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 10:43. Listen to this. Here's how the apostles preached the Word of God. They said to him, give all the prophets witness. Well, what'd they say? That through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. You say, well, I read the Old Testament, it's just a mystery. That's what it's saying. That's what it's saying. So you still think about them graphs that men draw. You've seen them, they draw these graphs. I just look at them anymore and shake my head. I don't know what in the world they're doing. Where they're going with all this stuff. And they'll say, well, go back to Daniel chapter 7 and I'll show you. And you go back to Daniel chapter 7, it has nothing to do with what he had on that graph. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Listen to this, Acts 13:38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, what man? The man, Christ Jesus. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. But the Jews wouldn't have it. They heard that word preached by God's ambassador and they threw it away. And they spoke evil of all that Paul and Barnabas had preached. Now listen to what Paul said, Acts 13:46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and they said it was necessary that the word of God. That's what we're interested in. That the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you, what'd they put from them? The word of God. What'd they cling to? Tradition. The popular vote. The majority. Seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now listen to this, what the Gentiles hear. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I've set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. That's Psalm 2:8. He put his holy king on his hill, gave him the heathen. And when the Gentiles heard this, what did they hear? They heard from the Word of God that they were connected to this. It wasn't just the Jews. They found out in the Word of God that they had a personal concern with this thing of Jesus Christ. I can't give it to you. You can't get it yourself. But God can show you in His Word. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. Now watch this. And they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now it's one thing to hear a man, and it's another thing to hear that same man as he's enabled of God to speak to your heart out of his word. And then for God to lay in your heart a foundation of a good hope. A good hope in Christ. Well, what does this book say about Christ and His redemption? Well, it says time and again that Christ was chosen, ordained, appointed to all His eternal offices before the world began. Before there was an earth, there was a Savior. Before you was talking about that Milky Way stretching sky to sky. I used to see that down in Yucatan, Mexico when I'd go down there and visit with Walter Gruber. But you can see so many more. But there was none of those things, but there was a Savior. Well, what are you saying? I'm saying the Savior created the world. And Paul preached that it was created by Him, now listen, for Him. What's going on in creation? Scientists are studying. Children going to college trying to learn. Everybody's looking into it. They're studying the ocean and studying the sky and going into outer space and doing this and doing that. They're all trying to figure, what's going on in the world? The salvation of sinners. That's what's going on in the world. And the world ain't going nowhere until He saves every one of them. Every one of them. And when the last one's saved, He'll wrap it up. He'll wrap it up. That's what it says. At the very beginning of this letter to Timothy, Paul said, God hath saved us. You ever hear people talking about getting saved? It's kind of funny to me to hear them. I know it ain't a funny thing, but it just seems funny to me to hear them say that anymore. There was a time when it seemed perfectly logical. I got saved. I had a fella came in our church one night. He's a logger. And he come in, and boy, he was nervous as a cat. And he got here too early. Somebody gave him the wrong service time. And he got here early, and he was just pacing back and forth, in and out. And he come up, introduced himself, and he said, I'm a sinner. And I said, well, it's good that you know that. And he said, I'm a vile sinner. He said, you don't know what I'm saying. I said, well, I've got a pretty good idea of what you're saying. And finally, he said, he was sitting there on the front pew, and he just jumped up, and he said, here's what we're going to do. We're all y'all going to gather around me, and we're going to pray, and I'm going to make a profession of faith, and then I won't be baptized. And I said, no, that's not what we're going to do. What we're going to do is you're going to sit down there on that front pew, and you're going to shut up. And I'm going to preach the gospel to you, and maybe the Lord will save you. Maybe the Lord will open your heart and reveal Himself to you. But if he don't, ain't nothing I can do about it. And ain't nothing He can do about it. All you can do is hear. Faith cometh by hearing. It don't come in your closet. It don't come out yonder on the lake. It don't come up on the mountainside. It comes through hearing. And if you look that up in Romans chapter 8 and go back just a few verses, He'll tell you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are you going to call on Him in whom you have not believed? And how are you going to believe in Him of whom you have not heard? And how are you going to hear without a preacher? And how on earth is He going to preach if I don't send Him? But if I do, if I send Him and I speak through Him and I do something for you, you're going to look at that old preacher, that old hillbilly from Arkansas, and you're going to say, boy, he got the prettiest feet I ever seen. God brought him here for me. Isn't that something? Isn't that what Paul said? Therefore, he said, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And that's what Paul wrote Timothy right off the bat. He said, God saved us. And then he called us. Oh, I thought he called you first and then he said, no, he saved you first, then he called you. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Think about that. The book of God said Christ is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I was teaching that in my Sunday school class the other day, and I said, I was reading a man, I forget who it was, one of the old writers, and he said, well, Melchizedek wasn't really Christ. He said, Christ was made after the order of Melchizedek. And I said, well, it says in Hebrews 7 that Melchizedek was like unto the Son of God, and that's what he told me. He wasn't a son of God, he was like unto the Son of God. And I said, let me ask you something. Who or what is like unto the Son of God? That same prophet, Isaiah. the Lord. The Lord spoke. And he said, who will you liken me to? There's none like me. Who's like unto the Son of God? No, the only one like the Son of God is the Son of God. And Melchizedek was a priest forever, like unto the Son of God. He was the Son of God. And God swore him in with an oath, and his priesthood is from everlasting. He didn't have a father or a mother. He didn't have a beginning of days or an end of days. Who could take that on himself except Christ? He's a priest forever. And because he continueth ever, he's able to save to the uttermost those who come unto God by him. You see what I'm saying here in the Word of God? Christ, all his eternal appointments as the mediator, as the Savior, as the surety of the everlasting covenant of grace, all these appointments of God, he received them before there's ever a man, before there's ever a garden. The book of God says there's only one manifestation of God, and that is the appearing of Jesus of Nazareth and the redemptive work that he accomplished. In John 1:18 it says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Show us the Father and we'd be satisfied. Have you been so long time with me and you don't know the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Men tell me, say, well, you don't know anything about the Holy Ghost. Sure I do. And everything I know about him, I know in Christ. God's revealed in Christ. This is God come into the flesh. In John chapter 3, verse 32, I was just reading it in the Bible that's open up here. It says, what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that receiveth his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. And in 1 John 5:20 it said, and we know that the Son of God hath come and given us an understanding that we may know him that's true. Brethren, if you don't know Christ, you don't know God. My Jesus wouldn't do like that. Well, your Jesus ain't God. It just that simple. We know that the Son of God had come and given to us an understanding that we may know him that's true and we're in him that's true. This is the true God and eternal life. And then fourthly, the message of this book, the testimony of the living God, is that God has given to a people. I don't know who they are. But he's given to a people eternal life, and this life is in his Son. People tell me, well, ain't you got something else to talk about? It's all, the only thing you ever talk about is Christ in him's life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I'm interested in life. I've already experienced death. I'm interested in life. Eternal life. I hope there's nobody here today still at odds with God's eternal election of his saints. To deny God's election of his saints, you'd have to throw away half your Bible. You wouldn't have much left. The Father blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ according. You go through there, you'll find that word 6 or 7 times in that first chapter of Ephesians alone. According, according, according. And all these blessings, through his eternal appointments, through those offices that God assigned to him and ordained him for, God blessed us in Him before the foundation of the world, according as He's chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before Him, being loved. Being loved. In Christ, you've always been loved. Never was a time when God didn't love you. Paul said there's a remnant at this present time according to the election of grace. And Christ said this, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Is that election? Sounds like it to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Raise it up again at the last day. And I love this one. He said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Point that little baby. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save whose people? His people. From their sin. See, all this walking down aisles and signing pledge cards and speaking in tongues and all this junk, that's what it is, it's just junk, is for naught. The real question is, how do I know my election? How do I know it? Only one way to know it. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Come to Christ. That's how you know it. That's how you know it. I'll tell you something about the Word of God. It'll shed a lot of light on them commentaries. It will. I love looking at the writings of these old faithful pastors, but don't read them as inerrant. They're not. Somebody told Clay Curtis, he preached and he sat down, one of the old deacons run up to him and he said, you know John Gill don't believe that, don't you? He said, I just told you what God said. Whose word we going to take, John Gill's or God's? And that's where it is. I love John Gill. I read a lot of John Gill. John Gill was a faithful pastor. But John Gill's not inerrant. This is the record, 1 John 5:11, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. In His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And then fifthly, God's testimony declares that faith in Christ is the only way you can know your election of God. They probably didn't know it, but Paul told the Thessalonians, he said, I know your election of God. How you know that, Paul? My gospel didn't come unto you in word only. It come in power and it come in the Holy Ghost. Now listen. You become followers of us and the Lord. I become a follower of Henry Mahan because I knew God sent him. I knew he had God's gospel and God's word, and I followed him. I followed him. And that's what Paul told these people. You become followers of us and the Lord. You received our message. You received this gospel that God preached to you through us. We say, don't that give a man a big head? It didn't give Paul one. He said, I'm not sufficient of myself to think anything of myself. My sufficiency is of God. But I'm going to tell you something. There's no gray area here. Either God sent me or I'm Antichrist. There's nothing in between. And if God sent me, that's what makes the difference in him. If God sent me. And if Antichrist is in me, and that spirit of Antichrist and that spirit of error, then what you're doing this morning is an abomination before God, listening to me. That's just how serious this thing is. Well, how do you know that? I know that by the Word of God. By the Word of God. Somebody said one time, they said, you grace preachers believe God's people are going to be saved no matter what. This one don't. I don't believe that at all. He said, God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. Now, that's what he told those Thessalonians. I believe in the means that God has ordained, and he's ordained his means the same as he ordained his Son and the same as he sent his Holy Spirit into this world. These means are ordained of God. He didn't leave it into the hands of men, and I mean, think about this. The Gideons passed out Bibles and tracts and stuff for you. The Great Commission was not go ye into all the world and pass out pamphlets. That's not what it says. He told them, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. Well, you say, you trying to limit God? No, I'm not trying to limit God at all. God is the one who ordained the means. In the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Isn't that what it says? But to please God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I don't have to listen to no preacher. Then you can forget about being saved. You can forget about it. So you're not going to be saved till you do. My friend, God, the God of purpose, it says, worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And in the book of James, it says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Isn't that what it says? Now it says, you take heed how you hear. You readjust your ears, you readjust your posture, and you think about it a little bit more than what you do. Problem is, we're living in a world that's so filled with antichrist religion that men are ignorant of the Word of God and therefore ignorant of the will of God and the Son of God. And then one more thing and I'll quit. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, he said, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Men and women go off to seminary. I've got friends who've done it, people I've known and worked with. And they go off to seminary and they're dedicated, some of them are. They're willing, they're devoted to the ministry. They study hard, they get their degrees, and they go out and they pastor sometimes large congregations. But they don't know God. They don't know God. They don't know the will of God. They don't know the Son of God. They don't know anything about God. They might be brilliant men. Could have been doctors and lawyers and scientists. But they cannot by wisdom come to know God. A fellow told me one time he was mad. I was telling him some things out of Scripture. He got mad. He said, I'm going to go home this weekend and read my Bible. I don't think you can read it in a weekend and come away with anything, do you? But he said, I'll come back and we'll talk. I'll come back. He didn't know God. He didn't know anything about God. But you can't sit down, open this book, and come to know God. The Jews had this book. They studied this book. They transcribed this book. They knew where every comma, every period. If anything was out of place, they wouldn't put it out. They'd take it back there and put it on the shelf. It's a mistake. That don't go there. That word don't go there. This word don't go there. They knew the Word of God frontwards and backwards. But they didn't know God. Huh? What was the problem? The Gentiles, they were worshiping idols. They were worshiping fish and bugs and dung and everything else. But Paul said over in Romans 3, he said, were the Jews better for what they had? Are they better than us? No. How come? because you all under sin. As it is written, there's none righteous. Now listen, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. And there's none good. I believe in nuns, don't you? There are four of them, right there. None. You know the Word of God when God uses the means that He's ordained to teach you the Word. And when He taught you the Word, then you read it and you'll glean from it and it'll be a treasure field to you. Be a treasure field. You see what Paul's telling Timothy? Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Commit it to memory. Be instant, in season, out of season. Be ready always, he said, to give an account for the hope that's in you. And what I hope to do, both at home and here, if the Lord will allow me, is to preach Christ as He's been set forth in His Word. In His Word. If you can come to me after service and show me something in the Word of God that I'm not preaching, I'll quit and start preaching that. But you're going to have to show me. Most of you heard about the actor George Clooney. He's starred in several movies, different places. But most of you don't know that his daddy was a newsman in Cincinnati, Ohio. He was on for years and years. And at the graduation at the University of Kentucky at the commencement, he was asked to give the commencement for the graduation. And urging the students to keep an open mind, he made this statement, and I wrote it down. They put it in the newspaper. It's not what you don't know that'll hurt you. It's what you know that just ain't so. I'll tell you, I said it one time, I know this. And it hurt me. But I come see, I didn't know. I didn't know. It's what you know that just ain't so.